Why can you stay calm for once instead of flying off the handle? I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy now. I hope you're happy how you hurt your cause forever. I hope you think you're clever.
I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy too. I hope you're proud how you would grovel in submission to feed your own ambition.
So though I can't imagine how, I hope you're happy
right
now.
Weird. Okay. Hello. Welcome to Wicked Fan Podcast, the biggest Wicked Fan Podcast. It's called Wicked Awesome, and we're based in Boston. And we're the Wicked Bros. We're the Wicked Bros, and we're the men who love Wicked. This is the story of the men who love Wicked out there. We love Wicked. You like that? You like that? Wicked had great sets, and that's all it needed. That's my one sentence take. Chris Person, what is your one sentence take on Wicked?
You can do all the fake CG shit in the world, but if you have a cylindrical library that people do acrobatics on, like it's the fucking scene in 2001, yeah, then you're gonna, yeah. You got me. I'm sorry. You got my ass. Like, yeah. I'll believe the fucking monkeys and shit if you get the library weird thing right.
I know that's right.
Fontaine, do you want your last name on the podcast?
Sure, yeah.
Chappelle.
Capel.
Yeah. I like saying chapel because it makes you more saintly.
I'll take it. It means chapel.
Fontaine, what is your one sentence take on Wicked, the musical movie sensation?
It's really hard to encapsulate in one sentence. I got chills when Defying Gravity started. I could not help it. It was a bodily reaction.
It's designed to do that.
Sorry. But it worked. It worked. What is my take? Okay, my big surprise, I don't know shit about Ariana Grande, but her command of like actual comedic acting and timing was really, she was like a very, I don't want to body shame, but a tiny Lucille Ball. At moments, not the whole time, and she's not as good as Lucille Ball, but I was impressed.
I get that. We can talk more about Ariana and her body and make fun of that. No, that is not what this is about. She does look like a little doll, and she's going to sell a lot of dolls. Let her live. I'm just glad she's not pretending she's Latino anymore.
Thank you.
But Marshall, to your point, after we were watching, she was healthier looking. She was pretending to be.
So much
help. But okay, that's enough commenting. We're gonna get canceled for that. Marshall Moran, co-host of Heart and Labor, a podcast that we're retiring now and now becoming a full-time Wicked podcast. What is your take on Wicked?
I'm Wicked. You're Wicked. We're all Wicked. It's Wicked Fall. Like, we had Brad Summer, and now it's Wicked Winter. It's Wicked Winter. Okay, we're doing Wicked Winter. Look. Brad Summer was wrong. We were wrong. But Wicked Winter is going to do it. We got it this time, everybody. We just got to do it a little bit more. We're going to do more Wicked. But I loved it, honestly.
I knew that. I knew that before. That was my tweet before I saw it, was that it's Brat Winter. It's a like this is the the reification of Brat Summer into something new.
Can I say something? Yeah, can I say something? Going. Okay, This is very sincere for me. I kind of enjoyed it. It's nice to have cultural touchstones and do them with people, as cheesy as it was. I just love watching people like geek out on something for a moment before it gets really annoying. I think we'll all be inundated with it soon, and I'm just enjoying the moment until we all don't want to hear any more about Wicked.
I don't think we will. I think we're going to love it forever because that seems to be the way that it's been going. Andrea, do you want your last name on the podcast?
Oh, sure.
Andrea Gwynn's here. Iconic graphic designer of many such viral t-shirts that your favorite DSA politicians all wear. and other shit like that. And wicked sick organizer. Andrea, what is your take on Wicked?
I guess similarly, when they were advertising it like a year ago, I thought, because I had never seen the musical and didn't know anything about it, like I thought you couldn't pay me to see it, like watching some of the early trailers. And now I'm like totally sucked in. And I also appreciate, like, I feel like we're losing these like moments where everybody is like watching the same thing or talking about the same thing or experiencing the same like cultural phenomenon. So every time that's happening, I'm glad to be part of it, I guess. Like, even if it's like stupid things, even like even like Barbie too, or yeah, something, where everybody is at least like participating in culture in a way that like we don't have anymore.
Right. And we were talking about how it's half Brat Summer, but it's also half Barbie, and it's the two colors that we've been conditioned to like for the past year. And now all that genetic engineering is paying off for the big bosses in charge, who did give us these beautiful sets, so who can say for sure if they're good or bad. We also like the fashion. We also liked, I don't know. That's kind of it. I mean, I think it's like, you like, I had the same take about Barbie. Like the sets, like the fashion. Like the dancing in Barbie was better, though. Yeah. The choreography in general was, I think, better. Shot better. Wasn't super impressed with dancing, but it was a movie, so it was all this other stuff, and it had all these like fantastical fantasy elements that it needed to do, that I think the Barbie movie was more conducive to choreo. I want to see the Alvin Ailey show at the Whitney. Yes. Somebody take me to that.
I'll go with you.
Let's fucking go.
I think we can get in free somehow.
We are definitely getting in free. We're not giving the Whitney a goddamn cent. We are not getting any money out of me ever. Okay, that was Wicked takes. Oh, one last take I forgot to say. Seeing it at Atlas Park,
amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. We're saying this. I think it was you, Andrea, in particular, was just like, we were like, oh, we thought it was going to be like more rowdy because it's Atlas Park. It's like, it's always really fucking crazy to see a movie there. But everybody, it was a packed, sold out screening.
I've never seen it that busy.
Yeah,
it was,
years.
And they
were fucking silent.
Locked in. People were locked in. And it was, I chalk that up to it being a New York crowd, a musical theater loving crowd, which is the suburbs outside of the city are extra obsessed with going to see musical theater. They're obsessed with the ritual of like, there's an intermission, so hold your shit, you cannot miss any of the show. I heard a mom like being like my daughter wanted to go up and use the bathroom. I said, honey, you have to stay here. It's like so tight. I was like kind of hoping it'd be rowdier so I could like text throughout of it. I like didn't, I was, it was kind of boring. I would like
I also went by.
But it's fun. Like, it's like, it's fine. I was fine being like in that world, but it's like, it is such a really, I don't want to like lose track that it's a very basic and baseline movie. And I really wish that like Cats got this budget and focus and clarity. I think it was unfair that we weren't given this for Cats.
I think, the problem with Cats is they basically tortured a bunch of Canadian VFX artists.
Exactly.
And had that been given like the space to breathe, it would have actually been like correct, but instead it like it was this like emblematic of the collapse of the big studio picture. Like, it was that, and I think like the third Star Wars, like, or sixth Star Wars movie, I guess, ninth Star Wars movie, I guess, right, happened at the same time, and they were like, right, it just became this like, I don't know, like shibboleth or something, just this weird like representation of like why these things are, these big CG pictures are falling apart. And this feels like, oh, okay, you guys have one of these back again, like you can do this size picture and have all your shit together. It is, yeah, I will say, comically had their shit together. Like, it was fucking science what happened there, even if I don't agree with it.
That just unlocked the kind of critique I had of the movie, of it being a movie about meritocracy. it's like a very, it felt very pre-Obama to me. Like, oh, if we just get like the perfect model minority person in there to just like take it over, you know, and then we can keep all of our little like costumes and gender and silly stuff. If we just like allow for like a little bit of room of who's doing the little bits and bobs, numbies, we're going to be fine. And the system can keep going. And look at this magnificent train for two people to ride privately. but I mean, there is Act Two, and maybe it'll address all of that and more. Who knows? I don't remember. I don't think I've never actually seen a production of Wicked.
I like the sign up.
Okay,
like the
let's hear about this. Let's hear about this. Hello. Yes, Marshall, you were here to check in about the psyops.
Yeah, there's the op in the movie, which is the animal subplot that is the real reason I love it so much, right. And is totally made just to keep people like me engaged, despite the fact. Yo, yeah, I'm totally the lore bomb worked. I'm like, no, they're Maoist. It makes sense. It's perfect. Like it's
they're forming a council. Yeah.
Controlled opposition. But seriously, I just wanted to say one thing. Like, we need a Scarlet Pimpernel movie. I'm not even joking. Everyone, we could have this. We don't need Wicked. We don't need Wicked. We could have the Scarlet Pimpernel. We could have a hurdy-gurdy in a movie.
There's so much more. There's so much. There's such a beautiful world of musicals out there for people to see. And like, if maybe we can have another like miracle budget thing happen. But you know, the CG animals, like, you know, because the thing with the cats, VFX torture year. That was also the year the same studios did Lion King. Yeah. And they did the original cut of Sonic, where it looked psycho.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like that era was like working this shit out. And I'm sure we'll learn about whatever AI-assisted bullshit like they had to do for this, and like that'll get all the credit and not all the beautiful dresses and beautiful sets and shit. the goat.
The goat.
What about the goat?
Oh, just the goat teapot.
Oh, we love the goat teapot. Right. We're going to shout out the goat teapot. The art direction of like the different set pieces, the makeup, the like that stuff looked sick. Like it did. It looked really good. And it was well thought out, and it actually, and the animals didn't look bad is all I'm saying.
No.
And I think they had to like get their torture session out and, refinagle. And I'm very curious to see how the VFX worked on this and like what studios and what the budget was. Chris, do you know the budget?
Oh, let me look this up. Sorry.
I'm very curious about what the budget was. If it's close to Joker 2.
I think it's probably more.
I think it's more than Joker 2. I would guess more for sure.
I think it's a combined budget.
I think it's picking you up, but.
Sorry, I think it's a combined budget. Oh, fucking, I don't want. I hate this shit. I'm sorry.
It's so hard to look up
anything. Yeah. The budget for the first installment was $145 to $150. It costs less than Joker 2.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I think it's gonna cost like $300 million probably altogether, which is like not a real budget. But it's gonna make fucking Avatar 2 money. Like that shit is going to make Avatar 2 money. It is going to do like maybe like Barbie. It'll make at least Barbie money. I'll say.
Avatar 2 made more than Barbie.
I'm pretty sure it did. Let me check.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Let me check that out.
Girls versus boys. I'm gonna close out because everybody has to leave, and I want to give Marshall this microphone back, or I could just steal it forever. Should I just steal it? Yeah, I'll just email you the file. All right.
You're gonna use it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I think you guys are all leaving, right? You could stay as long as you want, but.
Yeah. Barbie made 1.4. Avatar made 2.3.
Made 1.4.
Avatar made 2.3.
2.3. That's a big difference.
International markets.
What do international markets not like about Barbie? That it's fucked up American bullshit.
I think it's also like it is also kind of like a very specific way of feminism, you know, kind of movie. Like as much as it has like I'm Ken and shit, it also has like the whole like. I don't know. It's very very. It's less universal than like, than like PyaCon.
PyaCon. God. I'm excited for the new Avatar. I'll go see that. Yeah. We like Avatar. It's fine. Okay, that was movie time. Thanks everybody for tuning in to Wicked. We think we liked it, but also it was hard to be a woman for a while. And it is a women's musical. I want everyone to be clear on that. It is not a movie for F slurs. It's a movie for women, and women are F slurs. So that's fine, but it is a woman musical. It's something of on that teetering.
I will say, if it is in any way for F slurs, it is for like F slur friends. It's like for women and their gay friends who they keep like kind of like pets.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're into it though. Like yeah. Bowen Yang is clearly into it. Fine. That's who the movie's for, so have fun, women. I love you. Take care. Let's have fun.
Sitting at home in the evening is not what it's cracked up to be. There's pleasure for all of the family, so take this suggestion from me.
Oh, let's go out to the movies. They're better than ever before.
With romance to thrill you and mysteries to chill you and tales of adventure galore. We'll take the kids to the movies and see lots of folks that we know. We'll laugh and we'll cry as each scene passes by, so let's go out to a show.
Oh, let's go out to the movies.
Hey everyone, Nas is going to start a letterbox. That's right. And because that's the thing, people be demanding movie episodes from us, so much so that we're back on the fucking field recorder that everyone fucking hates when we do this, but it's all we have because you just don't give us enough money. I'm shaming you, the audience. Put your money where your fucking mouth is and buy me a new mixer. I need a mixer, I need two XLR cables, and I need two microphones. I think Shure is a good brand. I want a good brand. Don't hit me with a bad one. Directional, please. And what else do I want? This is my wish list for Christmas.
Are we gonna get the ASMR ear?
No, we don't need. We don't. I mean,
it'd be kind of cool.
You think it'd be cool?
I think it would be cool to have the little, the ears that like we can like wash them and like make the little like sounds while we do our podcast.
Yeah, we could have a third mic on the ASMR ones and twos that like we could turn up and down depending on what the vibe is. I don't know. So much production. We barely produce one episode every 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's tough, y'all. It's tough out here.
We're busy and our rent is really high. Back when Lucia and I did this podcast weekly, we had my ex's beautiful studio, a very available and good audio engineer, because me and my ex's rent were so fucking low that we hardly had to work ever.
Do you remember life before COVID?
Oh, what a fucking paradise it was to not have to work very much. I mean, I still feel cushy comparatively to how bad things have gotten. But I am the world's most hardest boy. That title is often disputed, but I'd say today, je suis le tired boy, once again. Hello, welcome to Art and Labor. My name is OK Fox.
And I'm Nas, and I just want to let everybody know that today I am very mentally stable. Very mentally stable. Let's go. It has been the first time in many, many months when I don't feel like a half-dead ghost wandering the hallways of life. And I would like to thank bipolar depression medication.
You're also doing a bunch of good stuff. You know, on top of medication, you got good friends and good activities planned.
Yeah, yeah, we'll call it activities. Yeah, things are looking up for old Nos, and yeah, so hopefully, you know, we can go into this December together and not, you know, seppuku and go the Yukio Mishima way out, even as alluring as it sounds.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing another movie episode. We don't really have time, but we recorded like 15 minutes of Wicked takes that'll be probably before this, because it happened chronologically before Thanksgiving. And then this episode, whatever the fuck this is. Right now, I'm kind of hyperfixated on my boyfriend's Letterboxd reviews. Because they're so much fun, and I miss them. Because he's been on hiatus with it for a while, but there's really good ones. His take on Phantom of the Paradise, for example. He's cooler and hotter as the Phantom.
I mean, he's right. He's totally right. I know that's right. No, I mean, like, okay, and I'm assuming probably if you're listening to this podcast, you've seen Phantom of the Paradise. If you haven't, please run out and watch it right now. It's probably my favorite movie of all time.
It's definitely on my Letterbox. It's in my top four. It's one of the best musicals ever. It's so good. Paul Williams is incredible. And then the second line, he mostly does these one sentence ones. He says, "Release the forbidden phantom noise album, you coward."
Okay. So that, honestly,
slay
boyfriend, you're onto something. Yeah, that would actually, you know what? Has anyone ever done a concept album where they filled in the gap, like a fan album? And should we do this?
He's really sick. I'm not a musician. I don't know how to do anything. Make Marshall do it. He's phantom coded.
Okay. So Marshall is not with us right now, but yes, he is probably the most phantom coded person I've ever met in my life. And this is kind of a revelation right now, because the pieces, the Tetris blocks are like falling into place, and it just like made a row and went like beep, beep, beep. And that, yeah, Marshall is the Phantom. Yeah.
Cast her.
Yeah, we should have the Ridgewood production of Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, I would rent out the fucking Catholic like auditorium at the end of Metropolitan, Christ the King auditorium.
Oh my god.
I would fund the whole thing. I would fund the whole thing. I would direct.
And oh, it's one of the like the like enemy bands or whatever can be Machine Girl.
Put them in there. They can be like the Beach Boys band.
Yeah. Oh my god, this is a really good idea. Someone should start a GoFundMe for us. We can't keep asking for money every episode.
It's kind of the whole point of a podcast is to like ask for money.
I mean, I thought that the point of a podcast was just to have dudes talking about men's literature.
The problematic literature that most people are too afraid to talk about. Men's literature. Problematic guys on the internet.
Problematic guys on the internet doing problematic activities.
Falling, sweet intoxication. Touch me, trust me, savor each sensation. Let the dream begin, let your darker side begin. Power of the music that I write. The power of the music of the night.
Okay, so we're not going to talk about Wicked. We're not going to talk about movie takes anymore. Maybe a little bit, but we just don't have time. And because what we really need to talk about is Joe Biden going into that bookstore in Nantucket and buying what is it called? 100 Years War on Palestine, History of Settler Colonialism, and and Resistance, 1717 to 2017, by Rashidi Khalidi, which is like one of the bestsellers like at my job, and certainly like in general right now. But it's not like like type of New York Timesy bestseller. I don't know. No.
It's like an academic press book. Like it's not necessarily the like, oh, this is written for just your average audience in mind. Like it's definitely like a higher tier of like, oh, you're gonna write a paper on this in a seminar class kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's definitely like not the president's political agenda at all. It's like it's the opposite, and it's a clear signal of some sort. And like, you know, people, I'm sure are like giving him a way too generous read of it. Like people who are like being optimists or whatever. But I think it's cool to be optimistic right now about it. Like it could signal some good stuff. It could signal a big fuck you to the Netanyahus, who are getting like a lot of bad press right now in general. So it's like, maybe this fucking Catholic guilt ass piece of shit is like something in his dementia brain has addled him and whatever.
Like, I think also speaking of Catholic guilt, another horny hot thing is the fact that his son Hunter was seen with him buying this book, which is, like I said, hot. Hunter Biden is the most attractive man in America, but that's not my point.
Yes. You're such a mess. Look, it's, I also love Connor O'Malley's Rap World 2009, but you know, it's not about, you know, the one I did like the detail that Hunter hugged the employee of the store.
Really? He did?
That made me feel very like, would that be me? I would just get shot by the Secret Service immediately, for sure.
Yeah. I think what would happen is, so a sniper would be trained on you from the Millennium Tower in Manhattan, and it would just, like, blow your head clean off, like, scanners. Yeah.
Because, as, you know, listeners of the pod knows, both times I've encountered the mayor of New York City, I have yelled at them a lot. At both de Blasio and Eric Adams. So two for two on that, if I were to encounter the president, which I don't think I would, though the president has come to Glendale before.
For a cop funeral.
But it took, and this was the last year of Obama, for one thing, and also it took hundreds and hundreds of cops for him to be able to come to this neighborhood. I don't think he could ever come to this neighborhood now. And that's like it's so fucking honestly disgusting that he's like holding a anti-colonial book, and after being the main perpetuator of the genocide that we've been seeing this past year, it's been completely under the Democrats' control to stop this genocide. And there's been a lot of campaigns trying to get people to convince people that it's out of the Democrats' hands and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's just not fucking true. It's more to do with like whatever dirt the Netanyahus have on who and vice versa. And I think right now maybe they have some upper hand. And I get that people are being optimistic, but I'm still very skeptical.
Yeah, of course. We're meant to be skeptical here. And one of the things that this surprised me, of course, I think, as it did many, many of us. And so we took to our official Instagram, which is Art and Labor Pod at Instagram, and we asked our very loyal and very amazing listeners. We posted the picture of Joe Biden, the non-AI picture of Joe Biden holding the book, and we asked, what is he doing with this? Give us your thoughts. So we had a bunch of awesome replies. Thank you so much, everyone who did reply, and I'm gonna read a couple of these. I'll see how many I can get to before we run out of time, because we're on a schedule. But anyway, so our extremely loyal listener Jordan commented, and they say, wait, does Joe Biden walk around with a jacket that has his name and job title on it? And that's a very good question, Jordan.
I think the
I think that is like all that the POTUS does. Like, it's just like all the shit has like the embroidered shit and the seal or whatever.
My favorite one of those is Chris Christie had a yarmulke with that said Chris Christie on it.
That sucks. What a fat Italian guy thing to do. God.
It's like having a tracksuit with like, it's like, I miss that guy. Anyway, yeah, and then also Jordan did point out that I can't believe they want us to hate Hunter Biden, which is true. Hunter Biden should be president. And he is the crackhead. As we know, the Art Labor podcast is a fan of crackheads of all kinds. We love crackheads. I think you guys are great. Honestly, crackheads unite and take over. And yeah, I don't know why they want us to hate Hunter Biden, because Hunter Biden is a Chad. So thank you, Jordan. They hate to see a queen winning. So our next comment was from James. Thank you, James. And they say, a bookstore owner gave it to him as a slightly passive-aggressive gesture. He accepted it to be polite, but will never read it. And then James goes on to say, sad this didn't happen in the summer. Could have been a phenomenal viral Halloween costume. James, you are so spot on. So spot on with this. And you know what? This does beg the question of where was this a couple days before the election? Right. You know, and I mean, obviously, we weren't voting for Biden. Duh. But, you know, okay, so they're learning, but are they really learning?
I'm going to read this one from this random pervert who said he's also got a huge Israeli butt plug in to provide balance. That's what's going on whenever he's got that look on his face. Amazing insights from our dear perverted listeners out there.
Thank you so much, perverted listener. We do appreciate that. Don't call a certain tip line. We don't want people to get in trouble. So our next comment was from Jesse. Thank you, Jesse. And Jesse says, he talked to a grandchild for the first time in years. That does sound like a plausible outcome. That is, you know, like, hey, granddad, you know, there's a genocide going on. Do you know what's really going on? And he says, well, little Ricky, I don't. So I'm going to go to my local independent bookseller in Nantucket, and I'm going to figure that shit out.
Now, in the last hours of my presidency, I'm going to fix it all. I promise, little Jimmy. I swear to God, this time for sure. It's not a Lucy football. It's the Democratic Party. I swear we're not just a giant Trojan horse of Lucy doing the football thing, because is literally what the Democratic Party is.
I mean, exactly. I mean, as we know, the Democrats are really fucking good at blowing it. I think this qualifies as probably the biggest blowing it. But our next great comment comes from Noted Friend of Rabbit. Thank you, Noted Friend. I love Evan. Oh yeah, I see. I don't know. I am new here. I don't know all of you, but again, thank you so much for commenting. But Noted Friend says, theory: he doesn't know where he is or even what a book is anymore. He can't read that. Evidence: the photo in question.
Yeah, because that's the thing that, I mean, we were implying it before with the butt plug comment, but he's making this, like, very, like, sundowny, I don't know where I am face in the photo, so that gives him some plausible deniability to the Zionists, who are all of his BFFs and main supporters.
Yeah, he has this very, like, dogged, like, where am I? What am I? So they could come back, like when it's revealed that he has, like, had Alzheimer's in office, like Reagan, they would be like, oh, when he was carrying that book, it was actually because, you know, he was nuts. He was gone. He was pissing himself and, you know, drooling.
Well, I think it's, like, gotten to this point where he probably will get a question about it. Like, if I guess if there's the opportunity, I don't see why he wouldn't get, like, are you reading the book? Like, what do you know?
What are your
thoughts?
We need, I mean, like I was telling OK earlier, this isn't, you know, this isn't a book, like you would, this is for like a college seminar type class. This isn't like a New York Times bestseller book. You know, this is something that you would write a term paper on. You
can write policy about even.
You could even write policy about.
If you were, say, the politician, the main, the main politician that controls if the genocide happens or not and has the big button on it that says flip genocide on or off. maybe if you read that book, could you really say, like, I don't, like, what, like, Heritage Foundation AIPAC team is going to come together and have a debate at through the Atlantic about the merits of this book? Like, I haven't read it. I haven't read that shit. It's somebody else. God.
No, and very true, very true. Our next comment comes from Addie, who, thank you, Addie, for commenting. And they simply said, "What?" Which is exactly the reaction that I had. So,
because I, of course, saw this within seconds, because I think whatever CIA algorithm like delivered it to me like within an hour of the story being posted. Because they know, they of course know. And I sent it to so many people immediately.
It was just like a mass, like every group chat you're in is just like receives the picture of Biden holding the Palestine.
Like my job gets it and it's like, if this couldn't have been me, I would have been shot in the head by the Secret Service.
And our next comment comes, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Mish, like Quiche. Thank you, Mish. And Mish says, he's an evil person, IDK. Yeah, that's true. And also follows up with, he's flippant, which, very apt. He is flippant. I think that's actually, like, yes, this is an Instagram comment, but this is true. Like, yeah. Like you said, where was this book 6 months ago? Where was this book a year ago? Where was it 3 years ago? You know? This is insane. This is insane. Like,
there's one I wanted to read on Twitter by Dylan Saba, who's like a really amazing lawyer and writer, and has gone on TruAnon a bunch, and he's really smart. I've met him. He's great. He says, Biden with the Khalidi book is kind of like when you put sunglasses or a hat on your pet to take an epic picture.
Oh, yeah. He's right on with that. Yeah, he's right on. I mean, there's no way this isn't some sort of psyop. And here in Art and Labor, we love psyops. Yeah. We love our psyops. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I don't see, I mean, why is it not in a bag? What the fuck, bookstore doesn't give you a bag? What the fuck is this?
No, and they did give him two bags, because I read that as a bookstore employee, I was like, oh, they gave him the whole hospitality treatment. The family had multiple tote bags. They could have put the book in, but Biden is very intentionally holding the book. What does that mean?
Oh, okay. That's okay. Good point. So our last comment comes from Darby. Thank you, Darby. And Darby says, he is literally demented and probably grabbed something randomly. There is no deeper meaning. And of course, that's the, you know, that's the Occam's razor. Like, you know, there is no deeper meaning to this. It's just the stupidest thing we could fucking think of. And it happened.
I wanted to read one more good quote from another friend of the show, my friend Tim, Tim_niche on Twitter. There's a bunch of possibilities here. Publicity stunt. Staffer gave him as a prank. /protest/ attempt at swaying him. Genuine interest. None of them especially meaningful, but damn, Adam Curtis ass image for real.
Okay, I didn't see that. That's yes. No, you're completely correct. Also, speaking of which, Adam Curtis, I know you must be working on something right now. Please, please give us the 10-part America is failing. I need it. Stick it in my veins. I love you so much, Adam.
Daddy Adam. Give it. I think Daddy Adam should work with Mommy Hito, and they should do a collabo. That's my dream.
Ooh, Adam Curtis should stop the massive attack collab and go for Hito. Yeah, that's a good one.
Get a real one in there. You need it. You need a little more. It needs a little more juice, in my opinion. And I think Hito has the juice, but not the star power of an Adam Curtis. But, you know, together they could make something really cool, I bet.
So, yeah. So, everybody, thank you again so much for sending your thoughts in. And, you know, if you happen to be listening to this and have more thoughts, please DM us on Instagram. We can read them on a future episode. But, yeah, we don't really have an answer for this. We don't have anything but a lot of snarky comments and thoughts. And hopefully more will be revealed to us in time. But thanks for sticking around for this very important field recording segment here. And we'll be back with more movie takes soon.
Let's have fun, everyone. Goodbye.
Man, take my hand, make my life. Exciting.